All right. 198. And we will sing all four. One of my all-time favorites. Charles Wesley was not only a great preacher, a great man of God. In his day, he wrote all tons of great hymns of the faith. Charles Wesley. And we will sing all four. Praise the Lord. What a great hymn of the faith that is. By the way, church, CBD, July and August issue. Who needs it? CBD, the latest. Stephanie? And you can purchase an iBible in here. I believe it's on page 32.
I have that, yeah.
Oh, man, the iBible is something else.
That's
for you to keep, girl. Ordering? Hey, feel free to order anything out of it you like.
All right, thank you. On your paper?
If you cut them off. Oh, Pastor, you pay for that? praise the Lord. We do have fun in this church, I'll tell you that much. Let's grab our Bibles tonight, folks. We'll get right to our message. And open up tonight to the book of Galatians, of course, as we continue trudging along through the book of Galatians. It seems that the scriptures here in Galatians just get better and better every week. And the Holy Spirit's really blessing us and teaching us many truths from it. Chapter 4 tonight of Galatians. Chapter 4.
I have to find it.
Now let me ask you a question tonight, church. Are you free? Are you free? Are you free? Are you free in your life from the bondage of sin? Are you free in your life from false doctrine? Are you living a life of liberty by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because Paul is going to talk about freedom tonight in Galatians chapter 4. Look with me. We're going to pick up the text. We're going to finish the chapter, believe it or not, tonight by midnight. And we'll begin reading here in verse 21. I want to speak to you tonight on a divine allegory. A divine allegory. Look with me at verse 21. We're going to read verse 21 through 31. How many verses is that? You're learning, church. You're learning to count the bookends. Amen. 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Of the free. I want to speak to you on a divine allegory. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this incredible passage of Holy Writ. Lord, the truths contained in here, we could take months expounding. We're so grateful for the Word of God. And Lord, it's amazing, Holy Spirit, how you pack so much knowledge of God into so few verses of your Word. We thank you that every word of every verse of every chapter of every book is important. And Lord, we treasure the Word of God tonight, and we ask you to bless it. Break thou this bread of life and feed us with it by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, church, after having shown the Galatian believers that the Judaizers were affecting them in a bad way by leading them back into a legal system derived from a covenant of law and one which could not justify the sinner, Paul is about to reveal the absolute absurdity of attempting to intermingle parts of the Mosaic law with the gospel of divine grace by using a divine allegory. Let's jump in tonight and see what he has to say here. First of all, notice Paul's pointed question. Verse 21, a very pointed question. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? I love this question because I ask it so often in my Christian life to fellow Christians who believe you have to keep Sabbath and you have to keep Passover and if you're not circumcised, you can't be saved and blah, blah, blah. Stop it. You're not under the law. Do you not hear the law? Paul asks. Now, the question here is very pregnant with soul-searching wisdom. He's asking them, do you seriously comprehend the difference between law and grace? Do you actually hear the voice of the law's demands? Do you actually believe that you can somehow benefit your souls by a legal system of works? Go with me to James chapter 2. Hold your place. We're coming right back to Galatians. In James chapter 2, I think the apostle James puts it here quite strikingly, clearly, that it's foolishness, absolute folly, to try to be under the law of Moses. Look with me in James chapter 2, verse number 10. James writes by the Holy Spirit, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Did you hear that? "For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." James says, you are not under the law of Moses. You are under a higher law called the law of liberty. What's the word liberty mean?
Freedom.
Jesus Christ has made you free from the law of Moses, which none of us could keep. I'm so glad of that. Now, back to our text in Galatians. Secondly tonight, not only did he ask a pointed question, but observe Paul's divine allegory of two sons. Verse 22. "For it is written," he's going to explain his point here, "it is written that Abraham had two sons." Now, time out. Church, what are the names of Abraham's two sons? Ishmael and Isaac, thank you. And that's the right chronological order. Ishmael was born first. Then Isaac came along. Now, Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid, that's a slave. The other by a free woman, that's Sarah. Now, listen. Here in verse 22, in order to refute the futility of the Mosaic system, Paul takes the Galatian believers back to Genesis. Back to that time period before the Mosaic system existed. Notice two words in verse 22. Bondmaid, which means slave. Free woman, which means freeborn or born free. Okay? If you want to be free, you have to be born again.
Amen.
Amen. Because you were born wrong the first time.
Born again many times.
Yeah, amen. You were born wrong, and you had to be born again, right? Now, Abraham's wife Sarah was promised by God that she would bear a son whose name was Isaac, right? Through whom the seed, capital S, Messiah, would eventually be born. But Abraham fathered another son in the meantime named Ishmael through Sarah's slave named Hagar, which is called Agar in the Greek. This was not God's will. Go to Genesis chapter 16. Hold your place in Galatians. In Genesis chapter 16, quickly, got to move tonight. And we don't want no Eutychus falling out of the third loft. In Genesis chapter 16, look with me in Genesis chapter 16 at verse 15. Verse 15. And Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, their slave, bear Abram, what's Abram doing having a child with Sarah's maid? That's not God's will. Look at it, verse 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Ishmael, chapter 21. Time goes by. The promise doesn't come. And look with me in chapter 21 at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did, part of the problem, folks, that we have is we don't trust him. We don't trust him. When he makes us a promise, he'll always keep it. But might not be in our timing. We need to have patience and wait on the Lord, Abraham. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Isaac. Now, notice here that these two sons, Paul is going to use as an allegory. Okay? An allegory. That I'm going to tell you what that word means in a minute here. Observe the contrast, thirdly, between works and grace in verse 23. Back to Galatians chapter 4. Home base. 23. Notice the contrast between works and grace. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Mm-hmm. Now, notice the difference here between the works of the flesh and the promise of God. Mm-hmm. They're spelt different. Amen? Now, he says first that Ishmael was born after the flesh, representing a system of human works, a legal system of law, Moses. Second, he says Isaac was born by promise of God, representing a system of complete divine grace. Sarah, Isaac, see it? Now, Sarah, listen to me. Sarah was 90 years old. Anybody seen a 90-year-old have a baby? No. You're not going to see a 90-year-old have a baby, right? But Sarah knows that Sarah did, because Sarah was 90. Humanly speaking, listen to me, it was impossible for her to give birth. Humanly speaking, it is impossible for you to become born again. But according to God's promise, all things are possible. See, to get born again, you have to believe in the promise of Jesus Christ, not in the works of the flesh. Can't save you. So we have to go by promise and not works. Now, humanly speaking, she could not give birth because of her old age. Isaac was a miracle of God. And so too is every single child of God a miracle of grace.
Amen.
You are in God's house tonight because you are a miracle of God. You are going to heaven because you are a miracle of God. Not because of any laws that you can or cannot keep. Fourthly, by the way, before we go on our first point, go to Romans chapter 9. Very important that you see this before we move on. In Romans chapter 9, Paul is speaking about Israel. Look what he says in Romans 9, verse number 6. We're having a contrast here between works and grace. In Romans 9, verse 6, Paul says, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel." Now, what he's saying in verse 6 is that just because a person is Jewish doesn't make them a child of God. The Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, which we'll see when we get there, is speaking about born-again Jews, not Gentiles. We'll see that. They are the Israel of God today, the born-again Jews. They're the Israel of God. So he says, they are not all Israel, the true Israel, which are of Israel. Not all Jews are saved, he's saying. 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Now let me ask you a question. Was Ishmael of the seed of Abraham? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. He was the son of Abraham. But he was not a child of God. Watch it. Verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time, God says, in my time, will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, his point here is that you cannot produce regeneration by works of the flesh. It has to come by the promise of God. It's a divine miracle. Every new birth is a divine miracle of God. Fourthly, tonight, just remember, Ishmael equals works, Isaac equals grace in this allegory. Paul explains the divine allegory clearly. Verse 24. Galatians 4. Look at verse 24. Which things, Isaac and Ishmael, are a what?
Allegory.
An allegory. For these, Isaac and Ishmael, are the two covenants. They're representing something. The one, Ishmael, from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. That's Hagar. Now, the word allegory here, allegoreo in the Greek, means typically or symbolically. Now, an allegory always contains two parts. Each of the two parts symbolically represent two corresponding realities. Did you hear what I said? In an allegory, you have two parts. And those two parts are symbolically representing two specific realities. That's an allegory. Here. Now, Abraham, in this case, Paul is using the allegory from Abraham's two sons. One, each son represents a particular covenant. One, Ishmael, represents a covenant of works of the flesh, Mosaic. The other, Isaac, represents a covenant of the grace of God. Grace. Amen? Now, here we find five, in verse 24, we find five specific facts concerning the covenant of works. First, that the origin of the Mosaic covenant is Mount Sinai. Look at verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one, Ishmael, works, Mosaic, from the Mount Sinai. Now, here Paul will graphically answer his own question, do you not hear the law? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. The first one, the first covenant, Mount Sinai, is the what? What covenant? Begins with an M.
No.
Mosaic. Mosaic, right? Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Don't miss this. Look at verse 18. Paul said, do you not hear the law? Watch what he's about to show you. Verse 18. For ye are not come unto the Mount Sinai, that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, nasty, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mount, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. There were angels surrounding the mountain. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. this the covenant you want? Fear? Trembling? Darkness? Tempest? He says this covenant was so horrifying that the people begged Moses to let the Lord just speak to him and not directly to them. They couldn't stand what God was saying. They couldn't take the commandments. Now, Exodus 19. See it one more time. The actual historical event occurs in Exodus chapter 19. It's the giving of the law. And it was horrifying. You don't want to be under this covenant. In Exodus 19, look with me here at verse number 10. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. You've got to be washed and sanctified to get along with God. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to what?
Death.
This don't sound like no covenant of grace to me. This doesn't sound like a covenant I want to be under. Because you're in fear of dying every day here. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, far as away as they could. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. Yeah, God's up there. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. There was no access to God under the old covenant. You couldn't go to God directly. You had to go through a priest. I'm so glad I've got a great high priest and I can go directly to the living God. Let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down. And thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. There was no access to God under this old covenant. Ishmael, works, Sinai, Mosaic. Not good. Secondly, notice what the legal covenant produces. Back to Galatians chapter 4. What does the legal covenant produce? Verse 24. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. See that? It genders, that word gender, that means to produce something. Generationally, to give birth to something. And it gives birth to bondage. The Mosaic system only brings one under bondage, to a system that cannot be kept. Now, observe the word gendereth here. It's Greek word geneo. It means to generate or to bring forth in birth. Listen, the only thing that Mosaic law can produce is bondage. That's slavery to a system of merit and works which cannot save, cannot justify. Thirdly, concerning the first covenant, that this legal covenant is Hagar's slavery. Look at verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. What? Which is Hagar? What does that mean? Listen to me. He's saying Mosaic law
equals Hagar's slavery. Did you see that? Look at that verse again. It says, from the one covenant from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. He says, in my allegory, the bondage lies in what Hagar produced. Ishmael, works, the flesh, Mosaic. Okay? Now, fourthly, this legal system of law is headquartered in Jerusalem's temple service. Look at verse 25. For this Hagar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. Okay. Now here, Paul's pointing to the Jewish system of priesthood and sacrifice. And he says that Ishmael represents Judaism with all of its legal rights, rules, laws, and regulations, which require a perfect observance, which no man can render. You see that? He says this, verse 25, is Hagar. Hagar represents Mount Sinai, which produced the Mosaic covenant. Hagar produced a son named Ishmael. Ishmael represents that Mosaic covenant. Ishmael was a work of the flesh. Okay, look at it. And he says, and answereth, this Mount Sinai, answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. What's that mean? The law that was given on Mount Sinai answers to the Jewish temple system of priesthood and sacrifice. Where's that? Where was that? In Jerusalem. Talking about earthly Jerusalem here in verse 25. And he says, it cannot justify. Fifthly, that all those who choose this legal system are under a bondage with their children, with their families. Look at verse 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Folks, listen to me. God is not happy with the Jews today. The Jews are in a state of unbelief, nationally. Now, he's not done with them. They will be restored at the end of the tribulation period. They will inherit the kingdom. The ones who believe, not the unbelievers. Don't let anybody tell you every Jew is saved. No. But they're in bondage today because they haven't received the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, something else. Go to chapter 2 of Galatians. Look at verse 4. Paul says, and that because of false brethren unawares. These are the Judaizers from Jerusalem coming up to Galatia trying to convert them to Judaism. Unawares brought in who came in privily. They snuck in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Why? Why would they do that? The rest of the verse. That they might bring us into what? Bondage. The Judaizers want to bring you, child of God, into bondage today. And they're rampant out there. They're everywhere. Join our little house church.
For the holy war, right?
Yeah. You know, you need Moses, and you need the Sabbath, and you need to be circumcised, and you need the Passover. No, I don't. I got something better than all that. I've got Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now. Next, we find three specific facts concerning the covenant of grace. Look back with me in verse 26. But, I love this. Now he's shifting gears from the allegory of Ishmael, the Mosaic covenant of works, to the Isaac covenant of grace. Watch it. But Jerusalem, which is above, there's two Jerusalems. Y'all know that? There's two Jerusalems? Yep. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, first, three things here. First, notice that the origin of this grace covenant is not on earth, but in heaven. Verse 26 says, but Jerusalem, which is where?
Above.
In heaven. Is what?
Free.
That's the one I want. I want the one that's free. I don't want bondage. I want to be free. And Jesus set me free.
Amen.
Free indeed. Free indeed. Glory to God. It's a grace covenant, and its origin is not of this world. It's extraterrestrial. It's of another world. He invaded the devil's world and brought salvation to a dying world. I'm so glad of that. Something else. Clearly, Paul reveals that there are actually two Jerusalems, one on the earth in Israel and one in heaven. One temporal, one eternal. One physical, one spiritual. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Hold your place in Galatians. In Revelation, let's see these two Jerusalems real quick. In Revelation, oh, I got to move. Revelation 3. Look, I do this all the time, don't I? Revelation 3, look at me at verse 12. Verse 12, John writes, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar," Jesus Christ, words in red, "in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of where?"
Heaven.
Oh, so you're not talking about that one over there in the land of Israel. This is another Jerusalem. "Out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." I love it. It's a new Jerusalem. Glory to God. Look with me in Revelation chapter 21, quickly. Revelation 21 and verse number 1. I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, I love that. Look at chapter 21, verse 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Woo! I love it. Our Jerusalem is above, but one day she's coming down for the eternal new earth. I'm so glad of that. Now, clearly, there are two Jerusalems. Secondly, though, concerning this covenant of grace, its origin is heaven. Secondly, that this covenant of grace has no slaves. Look at verse 26 again. "But Jerusalem, which is above, is what?"
Free.
Free. Listen carefully. Remember, Sarah represents the Abrahamic covenant of grace. And Paul is saying here that all those who belong to the covenant of grace are fully free forever. That is in a state of perfect liberty. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 again. I love how the whole Bible fits like a glove together. It's one book given by one Spirit of the living God. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me at verse 22. We'll pick up the same text. He says, "You're not come to Mount Sinai, but," there's that word again, "but ye," child of God, "are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the" what?
City
"of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem."
Amen.
"And to an innumerable company of angels," Timmy, "to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect," that's Old Testament saints, "and to Jesus," my favorite part of all, "the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Notice here, first, the covenant of grace is from above, from heaven.
Yeah.
Second, that all those who belong to it are free, no slaves. Third, that all those that embrace the covenant of grace are born from above. Look at verse 26 again. Verse 26 of Galatians 4. He says, verse 26, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free," which is the what?
Mother.
Of who?
Us all.
Let me ask you a question, ladies. What do moms do? They give birth to two children. You have been born. It's going to get good in here. You've been born from above. You have been born of God. You are a child of God. Why? Because the Jerusalem which is above, which is free, is the mother of us all. You know what Psalm 86 says there? He says, when the Lord taketh up his people, he shall look in his book and say, this man was born there, and this man was born there, and that gal was born there. Get our names written in his book. Why? Because every good father knows the name of his kids. Amen? Listen, no less than 6 times in 1 John, we find the words born of God, born of God, born of God. 6 times. And notice the words here. Born after the Spirit. Look at that. Look at verse 29. As then he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the what?
Spirit.
Is that a small S or a capital?
Capital. It's capital. You've been born after the Spirit, not after the flesh. The flesh is corrupt, deceitful, and it will vanish. It will be buried 6 feet under. But the Spirit of God is forever. Yes, all those who enter into this covenant of grace are born from above, are eternally free, and belong to God as sons and daughters. Fifthly, tonight, quickly, we've got to finish up. Observe Paul's proof. Paul's proof by prophecy of this superior covenant. 27. 4:27. For it is written. Now, where is this written? You'll find it in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Somebody turn there, because I'm going to have you read it. As we're reading this, somebody turn to Isaiah 54, verse 1. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. What? What kind of a prophecy is that, Paul? It's a prophecy of Isaiah, where Isaiah said that the Gentiles are going to bring forth more births spiritually than Israel ever had. Wow. This is a powerful text. Who's got Isaiah 54:1?
Say, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord.
Bingo. You see how Isaiah called Israel the married wife of Yahweh? But you are the married bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ has so many more converts than the wife of Yahweh. You see it? Yeah. It was a prophecy, Isaiah 54:1, of the Gentiles coming to the living God through the new covenant of grace. Okay, I see the light bulbs going off. Fifthly tonight, Isaiah prophesied that this new covenant would produce more converts than the Mosaic covenant ever could. He's saying the Mosaic covenant could not produce converts. But this one, this covenant of grace, it's going to go universal. Worldwide. Amen. Every tribe, every people, every nation, every tongue. Sixthly, observe Paul's application of the allegory. Verse 28. Now we brethren, he's going to bring it all together. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Wow! He says, just like Isaac, we've been born by the promise of God. Wow! Here Paul brings home the interpretation of this divine allegory. Go to chapter 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye... whose?
Abraham's
seed. Which one? Isaac! And heirs according to the what?
Promise.
See, it's all coming together, church. Now, seventhly, notice Paul's promise of persecution for all those who embrace the covenant of grace. Verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now.
Amen.
You folks, I love you. Giving these testimonies tonight about giving out gospel tracts, witnessing to people, telling them Jesus Christ loves them, inviting them to church. I love it. You'd be persecuted for it.
Oh yeah.
You'd be spat upon for it. You'd be mocked for it. But praise God, we're born after the Spirit. Go to Genesis 21. Quickly, hold your place in Galatians. Genesis 21. Just about done. In Genesis 21. Oh, I've been looking forward to tonight so much. I love Wednesday nights. Look with me in Genesis 21 at verse 5. Verse 5, we read, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. That's a joyful joy, laughter. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in old age. And the child grew and was weaned, Isaac. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham. What's the next word?
Mocking.
Mocking. He's mocking little Isaac. He's saying, you're a little punk. You're a nobody. You're nothing. I'm going to beat you up, you know? What's he doing? It begins with a P. He's persecuting the little boy. He's persecuting him. See that? And Paul says back to Galatians chapter 4 in verse 29, even so it is now. Hey, folks, those Arabs over in the Middle East are beheading people. Talk about persecution.
Right.
Most of them are Christians or Jews. Why? Because him that's born after the flesh, Ishmael, still persecutes him born after the Spirit, the children of God. Now, eighthly, observe Paul's conclusion of the allegory, verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now, here we have the conclusion of the allegory that Ishmael would not inherit the Abrahamic covenant promises. He would not inherit the land of Israel, which those Jews will inherit. And he is not a recipient of grace. Back to Genesis 21, verse 10. Wherefore she, Sarah, said unto Abraham, what's the next word? Cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. You know what happens to those who reject the covenant of grace? They get cast out into outer darkness. Folks, this is a serious message. Because if you reject the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace, you'll hear these words, cast them out into outer darkness one day. Wow! Finally tonight, notice Paul's application of the allegory to the Galatian believers personally. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. I got good news in closing tonight, church. We're free.
That's right.
We're free.
Yeah, hallelujah.
The question I have for you tonight is, are you living a life of freedom and victory and liberty and grace through Jesus Christ's Spirit? Because if you're not, you need to be. Because positionally, if you're saved, you are free eternally. And now, we need to live free in this life. Glory to God. Paul, in closing, attempts to bring the Galatians to a right understanding of the doctrine of identification. Did you hear what I said? This is the doctrine of identification that Paul has been leading up to for 11 verses. The whole allegory has to do with who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? He says, so then, just like Isaac inherited all the blessings of God, all the promises of God, even so we are of the free. We are the children of God. We are the blessed of the Lord. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this divine allegory. Lord, we thank you that your word is so powerful. And Lord, we thank you that in such a few verses you can pack in so much knowledge for us to glean. And thank you, Lord, that we learned tonight that we are children of the free. Because of Jesus Christ, we are free men and free women. Set free by the blood of his cross. And kept free by his Holy Spirit within. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the covenant of grace. Oh, Lord, I pray. My heart goes out to all those believers who think they need Ishmael. They think they need Moses. They think they need the old covenant. Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes. Show them the truth of divine, glorious grace and the freedom that it brings to the soul. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll close with an hymn. And let's open it up to 164 tonight. Most of us don't even need a hymnal for this one.
John Newton wrote the incredible words to Amazing Grace. We'll sing all four. Oh, thank you, Lord. Appropriate hymn for tonight's message.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll have our prayer meeting.
Father God, thank you for the message.
Yes, Father.
Please bless this prayer circle that we're going to enter into, Lord Jesus. Thank you for answering the prayers of the people of this church, Father God. Please bless our missions and everybody in this church. Answer the prayers that we're going to pray tonight, Lord Father God. In your will. In the body of Son, I ask. In Jesus' blood, amen.
Amen.